before we get into that, Ms. Norwood and I had talked previously before the meeting about this. This, as the board could tell, and the public could tell from looking at the agenda, all the public hearings this evening involve Sea Air Village. They are separate and distinct applications for different lots within that manufactured home community. I believe we have 9 of them right now. And we're going to have to hear these each separately because they are separate parcels, and they all have separate distinct requests for them. That said, there is probably some commonality of some of the issues that we can give a little historical background from a staff perspective. And I would ask that any of the comments that Ms. Norwood and I make pertaining to that right now, we incorporate that into the record for all those cases so we don't have to repeat it. There was a memo that was circulated to the board as part of the public packet that included some historical information. Specifically, this is a community that predates the zoning code, and it is a, it used to be what we call an old a trailer park, and it's since now reclassified as a manufactured home community. But it does predate the zoning code, and the lots were laid out, I'm not exactly sure when, but prior to 1970, I think much probably longer before that. There had been a historical issue where there were structures on the lots within that community that did not meet either setback requirements or separation distance requirements that the county had put in place. And I think there have been some ongoing discussions. This was prior to my appointment as the board's attorney. But back in 2007, there was basically a decision from the county that if the owner of the park made a map, showed overlay where all the structures were in the park at that time, and overlaid it with a, and I believe they have a survey that goes back to, I want to say sometime in the, in 2007 actually is the aerial map. And what it did was it overlaid everything so you could see what were on those lots. Any structures on the lots there were deemed non-conforming, so they were allowed to remain in their present location at that time. But the memo did explicitly say that if you were to remove any of the structures or you were to otherwise try to build on a property, you're going to have to build in compliance with the code or obtain a variance. Since that time, there have been variance applications. I don't have the exact number, but I believe it was in your memo of how many applications we've heard over the years, how many of the lots had been granted variances. I don't know how many of those were for replacements versus how many were for additions. I also don't know how many of those were from non-conforming, structures that have been deemed non-conforming under that 2007, or if they were from others that had been placed since that time. I don't have that information for the board, but I thought it was important to kind of give the board a little background on that because this has, there's some history here with this community. I know we've had some applications over the years. We had one as recently as May that came up that I believe we voted on tonight or might be on for next week for the findings that dealt with a variance that was needed for a lot in that community. I believe that one was a corner lot. So I don't think we have any of those on our agenda tonight, but we have had some cases in the past, but we've always looked at those independently and separately. So Ms. Norwood, I don't know if I've missed anything there, if anything you wish to add.
I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yep, that's about what we researched.
I don't know if the board has any questions kind of about what I just explained before we get into, I do know we have a witness here that will swear in, and then, I presume she'll be the one testifying on all the cases, but we will have to go through each one of them separately because even as I went through them, I noticed there are differences with the applications. So,
just a comment. From the one in May, it seems like when somebody wants to change something, it almost creates a domino effect affecting the neighboring properties like it was with that other one. I believe it was, the shed was over the property line and they weren't able to get that separation distance because of that.
Yeah, that one had a, it was on a corner, so it was a, the angle was different. And then they, you're right, there was a shed that protruded, I believe, off the rear that made it difficult for them to place even a home on the lot without a variance, let alone a shed. There is a provision in our code, and this is more for the board's knowledge, that allows for if if there's a variance for an accessory structure that's been granted on one lot, so say you have lot two has a, needs a variance to put an accessory structure, and there's a shed on lot one, and you need a variance from that, and you get the approval. If lot one later goes to replace that same shed, they don't have to go get a variance, as long as it doesn't come closer. So there is a provision there as far as accessory structures in mobile home, or manufactured home communities. There's not that same provision as far as the actual homes themselves.
So the provision creates a new setback?
It doesn't
Between the two sheds?
Yeah, it basically says, and it makes sense. It's like, hey, you got a variance to put your thing there. If this guy wants to retain his, he's allowed to do it or replace it. But if he tries to go closer, then, you know, but again, only for sheds and accessory structures, not the home itself.
Okay. Should we move forward?
I guess so. I'm ready if you are.
Is the applicant present? If you would please come forward, Mr. Sharp, we'll swear you in.
And I guess before we do that, we probably ought to read the case number, and then we'll
yes,
swear you in.
We might want to do that.
Because I realized we hadn't done that yet.
Right. I was like, do they want me to be? Okay, case number 12709, Sierra Village, seeks variances from the separation distance requirements for proposed structures. Sections 115.25 and 115.172 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northwest side of Sierra Avenue, lot A08, within the Sierra Manufactured Home Park. The 911 address is 19782 Sierra Avenue, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1, the tax parcel is District 334, map 13, parcel 310, unit 3018. I will state for all of these cases, we sent out 574 notices. They all got the same notice for all eight cases that we're hearing tonight. We had zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and 190 were returned in the mail.
So. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Amy Bennett. I live in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19986 Golden Avenue.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. We'll leave you the floor.
Okay, this is my first hearing, so do I just read and go for it, or?
However you feel comfortable. There's criteria for each one of these. You do have them there in front. You should have your application, correct?
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice to touch on each one of those as far as it pertains to the uniqueness of the property, cannot otherwise be developed, not created by the applicant. Altering the essential character of the neighborhood and the minimum variance.
Okay.
And this one, just to be clear, is for lot A8, which is 19782 Sierra Avenue, I think Ms. Norwood said.
Correct.
So just want to make sure we're...
Correct.
I know we've got a lot here, so make sure we're...
Thank you, I appreciate that.
The right property.
I try to put them in numerical order, so. For the uniqueness of the property, this particular site is uniquely narrow in the dimensions of the lot, which creates a placement issue with the manufactured home, specifically maintaining minimum separation between the homes and the accessory structures. This lot was laid out with others in the community, and I apologize, I found that it's 1960s. The lot sizes are small in comparison with the size of the modern manufactured home. Also, there are supply chain issues. Manufacturers have changed the floor plans that they offer. We've selected the narrowest home currently available for manufacture with this manufacturer, but I'm still unable to place it on the lot with the required setbacks. The narrow shape of the lot makes it difficult to place a new home on the property consistent with others in the neighborhood, which is while maintaining compliance with Sussex County zoning codes. And then just continue on.
Yes.
Okay. In regards to cannot be otherwise developed, due to the uniqueness of the property cannot be developed in a strict conformity with the Sussex County Zoning Code. I propose to place the minimally width size shed manufactured home, minimal width size manufactured home that is consistent with other homes in the community and a standard size shed that is consistent with other homes in the community, but I'm unable to do so without violating the separation distance requirements between neighboring manufactured homes and the accessory structures, for example, sheds. The variances are necessary to enable reasonable use of the property.
Okay.
And then in regards to not created by the applicant, the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant. The property is quite narrow, which greatly limits the buildable area thereof. The neighboring lots are also narrow, causing development of nearby lots to be nearer to the lot lines, the adjoining lot lines. It appears impossible for a home to be placed on the property without violating separation distance requirements. The exceptional practical difficulty was created by the unique conditions of the property and the development of the adjacent lots. Four, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. That the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood or district in which the property is located, nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use of the development. The variances will not alter this essential character of the neighborhood, nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use of the development of our adjacent property, nor be detrimental to the public welfare thereof. Seeking a variance to add to the conformity of the community and to modernize the homes within the community, which will subsequently add to value and improve the characteristics of the community and neighborhood. And then five, in regards to the minimum variances, the variances are the minimum variances necessary to afford relief, and the variances requested represent the least modifications possible of the regulations at issue. The home is its narrowest available and minimizes the need for the variance of the property.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Just that this particular year we're facing supply chain issues. Our manufacturer originally had probably like 30 to 60 floor plans between singles and doubles, and they're currently only offering like four of the double wides and like four or five of the single wides, and they've actually reduced the offerings that if we were to have to downstep, we would be stepping back to square footage that's like around the 800 mark, where most homes right now are coming in around the 9,000 to 1,000 square foot mark. They've done that to alleviate supply chain issues and to increase production times. The particular manufacturer that we're working with on all of these homes is able to produce a home in about 4 months, which helps us alleviate the financial burden of waiting for a home to come in, whereas other manufacturers are on a 12-month timeline. So it's a financial grievance for us to, you know, go with a different manufacturer.
Does that complete your presentation?
I believe so.
Questions from the board?
Ms. Bennett, thank you for being here tonight to undergo the gauntlet. Regarding the property that we're looking at in the first case, 19782, you're going to be removing the unit that's there currently? Is that correct?
The unit that's there is already gone.
It's already gone. Just so I have an idea with what you're proposing to do tonight, I'm assuming that the unit will be larger than what I'm looking at on the picture currently.
Correct.
And I look next door at 19774, and I look on the other side, 19786. Approximately, based upon what you're proposing to put in, what would be the closest representation of what you hope to set on the lot?
As far as size of the unit?
Yeah.
It's the size of the unit is 14 by 66, the box.
Okay, and so then I need to ask you, do you know what size 19774 is and 19786?
I do not have that available to me.
All right. You'll be using existing water and wastewater services that are on the lot?
Correct.
Currently?
I can volunteer if it satiates you at all. The separation distance between the buildings or the dwellings themselves that are proposed are over 20 feet. It's you know, the addition of stairs and air conditioners and the shed and whatnot that caused the need for the variances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long has that been torn down, or how long has that been an empty lot?
I came to the property in October. It was surrendered to us a couple months after that. It was down to the studs.
Why was it taken down to the studs? Was it in disrepair? Was it just an eyesore?
Yeah, it was just misuse by the prior owner. It was privately owned.
So, to understand the process, you work with Sierra, for Sierra?
I'm the community manager at Sierra.
Yes. So, are these properties purchased by, I just want to understand the process here. They're purchased by Sierra and then sold back out, or are they, is it a land lease?
They're actually purchased by our parent company, Sun Homes, and then resold under the Sun Homes and then leased out by Sierra.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. That's all the questions I have.
I want to have a question on this. So I just, I think to go back to your comment there about how this was set up. So Sun Homes is the parent company for Sierra, or for?
Sierra Village,
yeah,
correct.
Sierra Village. And then what they'll do is they buy the homes, and then you would sell them to a potential tenant for the lot, and then lease the land to the tenant, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You had mentioned that this was the smallest size, so it's 14 by 66, that's the smallest model out there?
Correct. And the manufacturer is no longer offering this model, so they've agreed because we have submitted a request for it, but they're not doing this 14-foot floor plan anymore.
Are they're going larger?
Yeah, 16 is now the smallest that they're offering.
Now, I think when I was looking at the site plan on this one, the neighboring lot, A10, appeared to have some steps that encroached over the property line. Is that
correct?
Is that correct? And that home, I believe, has been on there since 1990. Does that sound, is that right?
Maybe. I don't have history prior to October, so I'd need to look that up to confirm.
Has there been in that park when these homes come up, has there been a thought of reducing the lots, the number of lots in there to be able to provide the adequate spacing between homes?
So in order to do that, we would have to displace the neighboring homes or wait on the lot for what could be possibly years for an adjoining site to vacate.
So like in this case, you remove the home off of the property in question here, and in theory that would leave a vacancy between on lot A8, but lot A10 and lot A6, those tenants, I guess they're tenants, right?
Correct.
So they own the homes on there?
Correct.
Not Sierra?
Correct.
So until there's a breach of that lease,
correct,
or some agreement that they move, you're not able to readjust lot lines at that point?
Correct.
Are there any times where you've explored possibly moving those lot lines around?
I know it's been a discussion in the past prior to my arrival at the property, but it hasn't been something that's been discussed since because of the financial burden that it would cause, not just on the community, but on the residents themselves. They would have to relocate their homes.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you. Oh, I did have one. Where was the prior home in comparison to where this one is? Is it on the same general footprint?
Yes, it's slightly larger, but it is in the same placement.
Same spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slightly larger, but that's the smallest you can get?
Correct. And we can no longer get this one after. I have two of these, and then the manufacturer is cutting to go to the 16 by 66.
And you had a shed with that prior one, correct? I see you have a shed on this one.
Yeah, I'm not certain. I didn't know that I needed to have the footprint of the prior home, so I apologize. I'm not certain.
Okay. But I just didn't know if we had a shed on that one, because I see you're adding one here. It looks like from what our staff has provided, it appears that there was a 12 by 60 manufactured home and there were two screen porches, but it didn't reference any shed.
That's correct, there was a screen porch there, I do remember that. We try to provide a shed with each of our homes because it provides an area of storage for tenants. Helps them keep the property clean.
One more question. Are these sheds, are they just placed on concrete blocks for foundations, or how are they placed?
We actually lay a concrete pad.
Okay, so you'll be putting a permanent concrete pad to set them on?
Correct.
Okay.
Further questions from the board?
Mr. Sharp?
I have no further questions, thank you.
Is there anyone present who is in favor of case number 12709? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of case number 12709? Operator?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Amy on the line. Amy, your line is open.
I'm Amy Hollis, an employee with Sussex County, calling in to test the line.
Thank you, Amy. We can hear you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I realize I didn't read in the exact, read the request of variances. Do you want me to read them into the record?
Yes, please. Before we
jumped
go
ahead
any
and,
further.
Yeah, okay. So the applicant is seeking a 1.8-foot variance from the required 20-foot separation requirement for the proposed landing to the existing mobile home, manufactured home on lot A10. A 3.7-foot variance from the 20-foot separation requirement for the proposed manufactured home to the existing steps on lot A10. A 7.8-foot variance from the required 20-foot separation requirement for the proposed landing to the existing steps on lot A10. A 2.4-foot variance from the required 20-foot separation requirement for the proposed landing to the existing manufactured home on lot A10. And a 7.3-foot variance from the 20-foot separation requirement for the proposed shed to the existing manufactured home on lot A10. The proposed HVAC will comply with setback and separation requirements.
Thank you. Operator, just to be clear, there was no one else on the line?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you. If there are no further questions from the board, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12709 for Sierra Village. For the requested variances, pending final written decision based upon the record made during public hearing and for the following reasons. The property has unique physical conditions due to the narrowness of the property. Due to such physical conditions, there is no possibility the property can be developed in strict conformity with the Sussex County Zoning Code, and the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and it represents the minimum necessary to afford relief.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for my reasons.
And I, too, for those reasons. So with a vote of 3-0, case number 12709 has been approved.